Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry.
When you see the news and hear all about the turmoil and violence and trouble in the world, you may tend to be discouraged. But let's not forget something very important. God is in control, and you and I can be confident of that fact. Now, in just a few moments, we'll be looking into the Word of God to open and explain a portion of it. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Do you want to live life in the way that God designed you to live it? Then stay tuned as we look at some of Jesus' life-giving words. Right now, let's pray. Gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we bow in your awesome presence. We approach your throne in the name of Jesus and on the basis of his blood that he shed for us on the cross at Calvary. We have no other merit but these. And now, Father, I pray that you will open my heart and the heart of my friend who is listening, so that together we may understand your words that give life. Glorify your name through the teaching of your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, St. Francis of Assisi said to several of his followers, "Let's go to the village over the way and preach." As they were going, they met a pedestrian who was greatly burdened, and Francis was in no hurry, so he listened carefully to this man's tale of woe. When they finally reached the village, Francis talked with the shopkeepers and spent time with the farmers in the marketplace and played with the little children in the streets. On the way home, they met a farmer with a load of hay, and Francis spent some time talking with him. By then, the morning was gone, and the group returned to the monastery. One of St. Francis' followers was greatly disappointed, and he said, "Brother Francis, you said you were going to preach. The morning is gone, and no sermon has been preached." And Francis replied, "But we have been preaching all the way." You know, this simple story illustrates a maxim of St. Francis. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Today we have a well-known but often forgotten truth that parallels Francis' maxim. Actions speak louder than words. In other words, character matters. As we've been studying the Gospel of Luke together, we've been learning about various aspects of the kingdom of God. Sometimes Jesus taught in parables. At other times his teaching was simple and direct. Our study today focuses on Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. Here, Jesus speaks directly to his disciples using the parable of the unworthy servant and the healing of the lepers to teach us about the character of those who would be his followers. We'll see the prominent role of faith in developing what I've called kingdom character. So I invite you to listen carefully now as I read our text, Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19, and see if you can pick out the examples of kingdom character. That's Luke 17, 1 to 19, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Then he said to his disciples, 'It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him.' And the apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat.' But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Kingdom character is activated by faith in Jesus Christ, and it's stimulated by interaction with others. Kingdom character is illustrated in this text by several distinguishing traits that you and I should develop. The first kingdom character trait is sincerity. Jesus begins with a simple but emphatic statement: offenses must come. Even if you and I strive to live godly lives, we're not perfect, and at some point we're going to offend someone. Sincerity is defined as being true and pure, honest and frank. You and I must acknowledge our imperfections and our failures. We must be the same in private as we are in public. Paul said in Philippians 1:10 that as kingdom citizens we need to approve things that are excellent so we can be sincere or pure and listen without offense until the day of Christ. The word sincere, as it's used here in our text, couples the idea of the fullness of the sun shining with judgment or discernment. In other words, a person who is sincere can be examined in the full light of the sun and be blameless. He or she has nothing to hide, and they will do whatever is in their power to avoid offending another believer. Is that how you and I live? You know, the Apostle Paul is an example of this kind of sincerity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he discusses the issue of meat offered to idols. There he acknowledges that idols are nothing but a figment of man's imagination, and the meat offered to them, which was later sold in the marketplace, was of good quality. In fact, it was a bargain. But because of the association with idols, some believers thought that meat shouldn't be eaten. Paul acknowledged that eating the meat or refusing to eat it had nothing to do with their standing in Christ. But rather than offend the weak or the immature by flaunting his freedom, he wrote these words, "If what I eat causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to stumble." And then in Romans 14:21, he writes, "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble." We know Paul followed his own advice. In his testimony before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, he said, "There shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a conscience void of offense, both before God and before men." Jesus points out how dangerous it is to give offense, especially to children or to his followers who are spiritually mature. You know, we have this same teaching in Matthew chapter 18, and there, Jesus is holding a little child on his lap while he's giving this instruction. I've often looked at this verse as punishment for offenses, but this time I noticed something different. It's a concept of prevention, not punishment. Jesus said it would be to your advantage and my advantage to have a large upper millstone hung about our neck and then be hurled violently into the sea. This would prevent us from offending one of these little ones. So this is a serious matter we're dealing with. As I read this, I was reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 5:29. He said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." Are you and I willing to give up anything for the sake of the weaker and immature believers who are part of our local fellowship? Are we truly sincere in seeking the well-being of the body of Christ, the church? Or are we determined to have our own way and let the chips fall where they will? Now I realize there is more to the character trait of sincerity than avoiding offenses, but it's this particular application that Jesus highlights in our text. Does your kingdom character include sincerity that precludes offense? The next kingdom character trait is generosity. Generosity is simply a willingness to share with others what God has shared with you and me. It impacts many areas of our lives, but probably none as much as the area that Jesus highlights here in our text, forgiveness. And Jesus prefaces his instruction by telling his disciples to listen up. What he was about to tell them would shock their sense of justice. Now the disciples understood the need for forgiveness, so when Jesus told them in verse 3 to forgive the one who offended them, they understood that. In fact, the rabbis taught that a person should forgive an offender 3 times, but no more. Their conclusion was based on a wrong interpretation and understanding of the prophet Amos in chapter 1 and verse 3. But it's what Jesus said in verse 4 of our text that really blew them away. He said, "If your brother sins against you 7 times in one day, and 7 times a day he returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Okay, so how would you respond to what Jesus said? Have you ever had to do this? Or are you like me, finding it difficult to forgive someone the same sin twice? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week so we can continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdom Character. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdom Character. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of this teaching, Kingdom Character. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next time as we continue our study, Kingdom Character. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.